Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 254, recorded on May 15th, 2015. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me, hopefully throughout the entire show, is Adam Christensen from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how you doing?
Except I'm not.
Except you're not?
I don't know.
You're not here.
Just freaking pissed. The last couple weeks have been from hell.
Yeah, you got a squirrel like gnomon on your cable or something.
Like right now?
Well, no, you sound okay now.
Just in general.
Just you. All the cables you have, there are squirrels that just want to eat them.
Well, I mean, we're only coming to you through the power and grace of maybe AT&T at this point, because I'm having to use my LTE, because my cable, my super fast broadband cable connection that I pay $70 a month for is crap.
Yeah, say only nice things about AT&T. If you say something bad, it'll probably just crap out.
Well, no, they're awesome because they're actually making this at all possible. Yeah. It's just I don't understand, because Skype's technical call info says I've got no packet loss yet. You know, as you know, we've been talking before recording this and I keep cutting in and out. So yeah. If I cut in and out this episode,
you're probably just going to hang up in anger, but that's fine. Nobody cares. Yeah. They don't want to hear about this. Jeff Gamet is also here from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
Apparently, I'm doing better than Adam because my connection isn't cutting out.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
So, Adam, you should have just come over to my place and done the show from here.
You just go to Jeff's.
Yay, monopolies. That's all I'll say.
Because
I even looked into this week into moving to AT&T's, like, you know, UVerse stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Except my cable company gives me 100 megabit down, which I normally get when it's working properly. It's just not working properly right now. The best AT&T can give me is like 15. It's like stupid slow.
Yeah, well, that's DSL though, because...
Well, right? even their UVerse, and they're rolling out their fiber, but it's in San Diego, but I'm in North County, San Diego, so I can't get it.
Yeah, womp womp.
I need the gigabit. Lame. I need the gigabit. Where's Google?
Get the gigabits, man. Okay. So the first thing, Apple has seeded the third iOS 8.4 beta with the revamped music app and
new music.
Whoop whoop!
All sorts of new. I mean, all sorts of music. You don't have to necessarily listen to new music. It's the new music app, though. I guess it's better. Is it better?
We don't know.
We don't know.
I'd like to think it can't be worse.
The radio section's supposed to have a like streamlined, revamped look to it. It looks pretty nice. The screenshots look pretty nice.
Well, here's a comment. Quote, I'm amazed the music app still doesn't let you see a list of albums by the artist, i.e. click an
artist.
But
you can now see the artist's picture.
Well, that's stupid. You can't. So no longer, apparently, you can no longer click on an artist, see a list of their albums, and then click on an album to view the list of the songs.
But you can instead see a picture of Farrell and Robin Thicke.
Yeah, and so instead you see... You select the
see
artist
Kanye,
and see a huge list of songs. So
yay.
You know he's the next Steve Jobs, right?
Farrell?
Kanye.
No, Kanye. He told us he's going to be the next Steve Jobs.
Did he say that?
Yeah, and
he said that.
Johnny Ive.
I'm sure he said that.
Johnny Ive and Steve Jobs rolled into one.
Yeah, I hope my friend Ben is listening to this, so he's just laughing his butt off right now because he's a huge Kanye fan.
Oh, that's so unfortunate because Kanye is such... What words are acceptable?
Yeah, well, you know what? You know what, Ben? Kanye dissed your Rev 4, so... There you go. This is like inside baseball. So I guess it's just the new music player that sucks, and we still don't think it... Why? Again, original music player was perfect. Just go back to that. We don't need like popovers and all this crap. But Apple, they need to this is why Johnny Ive should not be in charge of UI design, because Johnny Ive just wants to make something beautiful and shiny and new,
well, iTunes,
something that looks
failing.
Different every single frickin' year, right? And that makes sense. That's cool. That's fine for hardware devices, because you want something that just, it looks nice, and that's fine. But when you start jacking around with software, you screw it up. You screw up something that's worked perfectly since 2007. Thank you. Thank you, Johnny Ive.
He may not be totally responsible for this.
That's because, probably true.
Because this was a train wreck that was well in progress before he took over.
It was barreling down the tracks.
Yeah. This is probably one of those sayings where, you know, maybe he has a master plan where he saw this train flying down to the bridge that's been blown out. And he's like, yep. We'll just let that one go, and we'll start over after it hits the river at the bottom.
Yeah. Well, I don't understand why it would be a train wreck in progress, because it's not like iTunes, where iTunes has been forced to take over, downloading apps and managing devices and all this stuff, in addition to music and movies and TV shows and podcasts and lectures and audiobooks and ringtones and all this crap.
Yeah, I think that's the train that's barreling down behind this one. It's epic train crash. Epic.
So you think it has to do with the fact that the music app is doing more than it should? I mean, the music app is doing less than it did originally, because it used to house your...
podcasts?
Your podcasts, your movies, your TV shows. I mean, it wasn't even called music back then. It was called iPod.
Yeah, that's right. We had iPod on our iPhone. That's right.
Yeah, and it was glorious.
I think it's all linked together. The whole iTunes thing, the music app and all of it. And I think it's on the back end. There are people at Apple, and I'm just guessing, but I think there's people at Apple every single day that are amazed when they come into work and it's still working.
And the rumor is they've revamped it so that it'll fit in the new music service, the streaming music service, whatever it is,
well,
right?
Why don't we just make that another tab where it's like Beats?
Why don't we make it another app?
Or another app. God, please, don't ruin people's lives just because you want this stupid subscription service to work.
They want it. I'm sure they want it all integrated from a marketing standpoint, though.
Of course.
Because,
of course, yeah. That's why. That's exactly why. They want to put it right in front of your stupid face so that you press the giant buy button and now you're subscribed to Beats or whatever it's called, Apple Beats or Apple Stream.
As a stockholder, I wholeheartedly support that.
Well, do you really support something that's going to be a horrible user experience for people?
No.
Okay. Because it was always, I mean, with Apple, it's...
No, I prefer
it was
to be
always
separate.
User first and everything else second, or ostensibly that.
Yeah, I'd prefer they have it still be a separate app and then try and upsell people it every place else. I'd be okay with, I guess. I don't know. I don't even know if I'd be okay with that.
Well, the iTunes... I mean, you can say that the iTunes store is... that's a separate app. That's always been a separate app. And that's worked out fine. People understand that iTunes is there.
Hey, I'm a big fan of the separate app thing. I mean, I am fully supporting, like, blowing up iTunes and making it into, like, five apps.
God, at least five apps.
Yeah, go into that with a machete.
Uh-huh. And just go nuts. Okay. So we'll rant about that again, like, 2 weeks from now when the next beta comes out. Did you see that it's Comex? Remember the hacker from the original iPhone hacking days? This guy,
good times.
Yeah.
Back when we had vacuum tubes in our iPhones.
Yeah. And he's figured out how to get a web browser rocking on the Apple Watch. So there's a really fun 15 second video of this guy panning around google.com with... like iOS style popovers, you know, when you select text and it gives you the copy, delete and all that stuff.
Right.
You can pan around Google, you can look at the web page and tap the buttons, but you can't type anything because there's no keyboard.
Because we can, people.
But yeah, so because we can.
This is like the couch browser on Apple TV.
Yeah.
Only worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The couch break. Well, yeah,
but web pages should load so much faster because there's not much screen to put stuff on, right?
There you go.
That's how that works, right?
Yeah, it's like making Google black to save energy.
I think the cooler thing is somebody figured out that there's actually a like a MIME call or a header call that Apple has for email. Do you see this? This was, I think, written up over at Cult2Mac, I believe is where I saw it. Where you know how with email you have the HTML version and you have the text version that can sort of get sent in the same MIME message, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have a browser that's, you know, if you don't have a mail client that supports HTML, it'll give you the text version.
Yep.
Apple has called out a HTML watch version.
Oh.
So if you, and not all of the email services support it. So you'd, in some cases, probably have to run your own like SMTP server. But if your sort of server supports it, and recognizes those things, it'll serve up to the Apple Watch a whole separate version of the email, which means the email, you could start to write emails that are specifically formatted for the Apple Watch display. So you could have your HTML version that would show in the browser and in the app, and then you could have your text version for non-those, and then you could have a little version of for the Apple Watch, which I think would be really cool for sending emails. So you could actually, you know, build something that makes sense for a tiny display.
That's neat. I wonder if Apple's already
doing that.
Are they doing that for the emails that they're sending out?
Probably with like, yeah, or at the very least, they probably plan it for like, you know, .Mac emails or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, cool. I can't find that article on Cult of Mac, but maybe we'll find it later.
I'll try to find the link. Well, I better not.
Yeah, with your like.
I would normally try to find the link for you, but I'm not going to open a browser right now.
Yeah. The Apple Watch is vulnerable to theft.
Woo-hoo! Oh, for Christ's sake!
Of course it is.
Yeah, especially if you got a gold one.
It's super vulnerable. It's extra vulnerable then. So people are upset about no activation lock on the Apple Watch, and
they really are upset. Is anybody really upset other than the stupid media?
No, it's just the echo chamber people that are upset. How many people are freaking out because there's no activation lock on their Rolex or their Tag Heuer or their Zenith?
I don't think that's a relevant argument.
It's totally relevant.
I don't think so.
It is relevant.
It's absolutely relevant. This is a total crap argument, and shame on the sites that totally conflated this into this stupid, stupid thing that it's become. Did you see my rant on TMO?
No, but I'd love to read it. I'm sure it's great.
But Michael, it is relevant. What Jeff's saying is relevant because what's the point of activation lock at the end of the day?
To keep people from using your thing.
No.
To keep people from stealing it, rather, because they won't be able to use it.
Correct. So his analogy to any other watch is accurate because there's no other watch that has a built-in theft deterrent on it. So what people are asking for is a theft deterrent on their watch.
Yes, and Apple could do it.
They could.
Okay, so you need to have a link to an iPhone to make all this stuff work. So someone steals your Apple Watch. Now what?
Then they erase it and link it to their phone.
Right. And they're done.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, but that's not a theft deterrent. So what Michael is saying is also accurate, which is, you know, Apple could do some clever things because it has to be paired to a watch or an iPhone, right? So, and they know, like, the unique identifier for that iPhone. So say, for example, you could say that if it's been paired with an iPhone in the past and then it's erased and then attempted to be repaired, that you require, if it's not the same UUID or if it's not the same serial number iPhone,
type in Apple ID.
You require some other form of authentication.
Yeah, so just type it into
they could build a theft deterrent into it. They didn't. Maybe they will at some point, but the fact that it's not there is not
an issue.
Yeah, but the fact that it's not there now is not an issue either. So
no, it's not.
You got to wonder why they didn't put it in there. I think that it's very possible it just didn't make it to 1.0.
No, I think about it. I don't think they thought this was even going to be a problem.
Right. I think that they designed the product that they wanted to release as the 1.0 thing, and then they were thinking, all right, let's see how people use this, and we'll figure out what we need to add, change, or take out with software updates or with hardware version 2. And at some point, they'll put in something that gives us a little bit more control over what happens with our Apple Watch when it's out of our hands. The idea I came up with was something that fits in with Find My iPhone. So your watch is lost or stolen. So you go into Find My iPhone or your iCloud account, and you tag your Apple Watch as lost or stolen. And then when someone wipes it and tries to pair it with their iPhone, and it goes through the whole authentication process, it's listed as lost or stolen, and it bricks, and then sends its location back to iCloud.
Yeah. Why isn't there more internet rage over the fact that I can't set a setting on my watch to vibrate my disconnect from my iPhone, like when it goes out of range of my iPhone, so I don't leave my iPhone behind somewhere?
Yeah, that would be
would be a great thing to have. Why are people freaking out about the fact that their Android phone doesn't have a kill switch?
I thought they did.
Yeah, but that's a bigger issue.
Well, that was one thing that, like New York and San Francisco, they
no, that's on phones, not Android smartwatches.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So I just want to jump back to the thing that I just said about the phone thing, because it already, have you noticed when you move out of range of your iPhone, it'll show the red icon at the top with the phone icon with the red slash through it?
Yeah.
Yep.
Have you seen that? Yep. So it already knows when it goes out of range of the iPhone. How hard would it have been to have one toggle that says, notify me if I go out of range of my iPhone?
I think that would be absolutely awesome to have. Yeah.
And you'd have less lost iPhones.
Yep.
Apple Watch.
Yep.
But that's not in there.
I suppose so.
That seems like a bigger issue to me than theft deterrent. Because I'm guessing more iPhones get lost than stolen, but I don't have data on that.
Yeah.
I bet you're right.
There was another article that was less publicized, but another fact that it's relatively easy for someone who's, let's say, a professional pickpocket to yoink an Apple Watch from someone's wrist and keep an Android watch or Rolex.
Let me finish. Okay, finish. Sorry.
And keep it authenticated so that they could use your Apple Pay. Because
what, by like slipping their hand under your hand and losing skin contact?
No. Just like taking your watch off, and there's a 1 second delay where, as long as you slip your finger under there, if you can pull your
mine's instantly locked.
No, yeah. I can pull. I just did it. I just pulled my watch off and then slipped my finger under, and it's still unlocked. And then all you have to do is just...
But so it never lost contact. You're saying you lifted it up and then stuck it on your finger and then it wasn't locked.
Yeah, because there's a slight delay. It's about a 1 second delay.
I just tried it. Are you kidding me?
I can't do it either.
If my finger's under it and never skin contact, I believe you. But you're saying if you lift it up and just move it on your wrist.
You have to give it like... I mean, it's about a 1 second delay is what I'm saying.
Ultimately, I'm saying I literally unlocked and just lifted, put it right back down, and it pretty much locked.
Okay. Well, you have to be skilled at this. It's not a huge deal.
Yeah, I can't do it. I'm trying.
Yeah, it's a thing.
We're not buying it, Michael.
Okay, I know. I'm just putting it out there. I'm not worried, honestly, because you're going to have one of these like master pickpockety guys who can slip it off your wrist without you knowing, and who also is aware that you have an Apple Watch and goes for the gold of actually trying to maintain skin contact and that whole thing. So sure, you could potentially do it, but I'm not worried. I just wanted to put it out there. And for what it's worth, Adam, your connection is crapping way out.
Who's lost it?
It's, well, let's see if we can trudge on. Let's see here. This is an interesting story. So if you prefer the some third party apps for taking photos rather than the built-in camera app, most of those at this point have the volume up shutter button thing where you can take a photo, you just hitting the volume up button. And if you use one of those apps, you can use your Apple Watch to remotely trigger the shutter on that just by using the remote glance on your Apple Watch, just by hitting the digital crown, or I would imagine you can probably hit the little plus minus volume button as well. But if you, of course, just prefer using the built-in camera app, there is the remote camera app on your watch already, which actually I think works a lot better. And you can even use the side button. So that's a bonus tip. You can use the side button on the watch to take a photo,
which is cool.
That is cool. So two little tips. So what else do we have?
You know,
here?
On the camera app remote thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's actually pretty cool that you don't need to unlock your iPhone or wake it up. If you just open up the camera remote app on your Apple Watch, it just goes right into the camera app on your iPhone. Everything wakes up and it's just there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, it's still buggy. I've had multiple fails of that thing, but when it works, it's really neat.
Yes.
And on the topic of the digital crown, I wanted to just say that I am having the digital crown stickiness happening to me. There's definitely, at this point, there's a rough spot as I rotate. So every rotation, there's a rough spot that it goes over. And depending on, you know, if I leave it for a while or, pretty much if I leave it for a while, it gets much stiffer. And I have to kind of work it around a couple times for it to loosen up. And I've tried rinsing it and rotating it underwater and all that stuff. And if it gets to the point where it's consistently noticeably bad, I think I'm gonna go down to the Genius Bar and have them take a look at it. But I'm not gonna go there right now because it's not really keeping me from using it, and it's not super noticeable. So I don't want to go. I don't want to be that guy.
I am not having that problem.
Yeah. But yeah, I gotta wonder if it's gonna continue getting worse. I called AppleCare and asked them about it, and they're like, oh, we've never heard of this problem.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. What do you think about the, according to, where did this come from? Digitimes. They say that the delay in Apple Watch production was from, labor shortages due to the, what was it? The New Year holidays,
the Lunar New Year.
And that's kind of in contrast with the Taptic engine issues. So what do we think?
Well, they were quoting one of the executives from Quanta, which is the company that's been building the Apple Watches for Apple. And the timing would fit. So sure, it's possible. And they said that the issue has been resolved, and based on the fact that more people are saying, holy crap, my Apple Watch is shipping, that seems reasonable too.
Sure. Yeah. So as far as like reason, who knows, but I guess who cares at this point, let's just wait and get your watch.
Yeah. And there's people that ordered watches last week that got them this week.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
You mean not impressive?
No, it's impressive. Because there are a lot of people who are, I mean, there are people.
Oh, people who got them last week and then received them this week?
Yeah.
Is that what Jeff just said? Oh, I thought you were saying, I heard in my head, ordered them release day and just got them this week, because that's happening too.
Well, yeah, of course that's happening too. Yeah, there are a lot of people. It seems like they're the Space Gray Link bracelet watch is finally getting out there. Those things look really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those all the stainless steel.
You mean
steels.
The Space Black?
Sorry, yeah, the Space Black. But I was looking at the one of the stainless steel with the leather, the magnetic leather one. What is that called?
The leather loop.
Leather loop.
The leather loop. That thing looks really nice.
I wish they did the leather loop in 38 millimeter, because I would put that on my sport and I would just love the crap out of it.
The only problem, all three of you have the, no, Adam, you don't have the black one. You don't have the space gray, but Jeff, you have the space gray.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like the space grayness of it kind of limits the band options.
That's why I switched. Last minute. That was Ken Ray brought that up as he was on Twitter and he tweeted that like literally 2 minutes before we were supposed to order. And I'm like, shit, I'm going to switch.
Yeah. It kind of doesn't seem like it's going to look good with anything, but a really dark shade or stuff that looks good with black. I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
Everything goes with black.
Yeah. Or you can go extreme contrast. You can go the other way, like a white would probably look decent.
Yeah. Or a red, maybe like a red leather.
Mm-hmm.
That might look good.
Yellow leather.
Blue from the leather loop actually looks good with the space gray.
Yeah. It'd be nice if they could let us try those on in the store. I can't imagine that's going to happen anytime soon.
You went to the wrong store then.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I got to try on all kinds of bands.
Like fool around with the different band options and put them on the watch?
Yeah.
Oh.
They're not totally supposed cool to do that. Yeah. I've heard they're not supposed to do that, but some stores, they'll do it for you.
Maybe it was my stunning good looks.
Probably.
That has to be it.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
I think they worry about the geniuses, you know, like dropping them and then they go on the ground and then they shatter, which apparently is a thing.
Dropping things and shattering?
I'm serious. It is a thing. Like, you do not want to drop your sports watch from any distance onto concrete.
Yeah. Yeah,
I wouldn't want to do that with a standard stainless steel either.
I don't know. I've seen a lot of shattered sports ones online, and it happened to Leander Caney over at Cultimac too.
Oh yeah, is that what?
Yeah, a photographer came over and said, "Can I borrow your Apple Watch to take some photos?" And then he dropped it.
Okay. So I did pull up that there's an article. Headaches await if you break your Apple Watch.
Well, yeah. The problem is that he's been being doinked around in terms of getting a replacement, because they don't have replacements. They don't have like anything. You know, they can barely get them to people who have ordered them. Let them, you know, replacement.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm breaking up again too.
Yeah, you are. I'm kind of curious. That was part of my curiosity with as far as the crown problem goes. It seems like some people who have had issues with their Apple Watches, I've seen evidence that they have some tucked away for replacements, and they have special Apple Watch replacement boxes that they send out. Remember the original iPhone? If you had a DOA iPhone or something like that, and they sent you out a replacement in a special miniaturized version of the retail box. And it seems like they're doing the same sort of thing, really high quality box for a replacement with the watches. But I'm curious if my crown issues continue, how difficult it would be to get a replacement.
Today, very.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Adam.
Try not to talk because I don't know what to do.
Just sit there with your hands.
I don't even know why I'm here.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's because we love you and we miss you when you're not here.
We like your presence.
Well, I'm wondering if I should hang up and try just calling like regular Skype.
Using a phone?
Like, take the Mac out of the equation.
Oh. Yeah. Nah, I think it's fine. Just leave it. Trader Joe's seems to be accepting Apple Pay, or starting to. And it's funny because I went to TJ's, like, it must have been Tuesday, and here in San Luis Obispo, and I noticed that they had new terminals, new Verifone card terminals. And I said, hey, are these new? And they said, yeah, we just got these a couple of weeks ago. And I asked if they accepted Apple Pay, and they had no idea. And I tried holding my phone up to it because, you know, at the very least, I'm not going to look like the dork who's trying to get their watch to pay on a thing right. that I'm not sure that it's going to work. So I was trying with my phone, and it didn't work. But I've been following it this week, and it's kind of funny that I just got on that looking at the Trader Joe's NFC thing, because it seems like they're turning it on this week. I've not gone back to my local store, but it seems that on the, I think it's the N925 or the N925 model of the Verifone terminals, the ones with the bigger screens. The 925 and the 915 both, if they have the little Wi-Fi egg on the screen, that's a pretty good indication that you can use Apple Pay.
Mm-hmm. I'll go try my Trader Joe's, see if it's working there. Yeah. Now, just by chance today, I swung into what's it called? Vitamin Cottage? Whatever the grocery store thing is, that's part of the whole Vitamin Cottage thing.
Okay.
And they had new terminals. So, you know, I asked the guy, do you Apple Pay yet? And he says, no. And then he looks at me and he goes, I don't know. So I just pulled out my iPhone and I held it up. And the whole Apple Pay thing worked all the way up to the end. And then it said declined.
Yep. Weird.
And
that's how Best Buy was.
Yeah. So then I just pulled out the credit card that I had tried to use as Apple Pay and swiped it, and it was just fine. So it looks like it's kind of funny. I can't remember what the place is called, but it's part of Vitamin Cottage.
There must be two different levels of in these terminals to make it work.
Yeah. So anyhow, but that's another grocery place that's getting closer to having Apple Pay.
Gotcha. There's a wiki post on Mac Rumors in the forums that they're constantly updating with retailers that support NFC payments. I'm going to link to that in the show notes. So they're constantly updating that, and they were updating. I saw here before I saw any news coverage of it that Trader Joe's was that they were beginning to accept that. So that's a good place to check out and occasionally take a look at, because you might be surprised. One of your favorite places might have added Apple Pay. So let's see here. Trader Joe's. Oh, HomeKit. So that's still not around.
But it's coming soon.
Please, God, please, please, please.
Why? Do you have a bunch of HomeKit things that don't do anything?
I have no HomeKit nothing. No, I want HomeKit everything. Yeah. I do have an Insteon, couple Insteon switches and things, but I have the old Insteon hub that's not HomeKit because they don't have the HomeKit one out yet. So,
are there HomeKit devices out and they're just not?
No.
Okay.
No, that's the problem. There's not like maybe I'm wrong, but I think there is not a single HomeKit device on the market right now.
I believe you are correct. That starts coming in June.
They were all announced in January at CES.
Right, yep. Right.
They have yet to ship a single one. Anybody?
Yeah, I guess so. So according to where does this come from? I'm not seeing. Oh, Fortune. Sources close to the situation say Apple is planning a smaller announcement around HomeKit in the near term, but not the official launch. Apparently making it easy to sign in and get your devices online is much harder to do than Apple anticipated. One source says the code base associated with that part of the process blew up and required way too much memory for smaller battery powered devices. So Apple is trying to shrink the code back down to size. And according to the Wall Street Journal, Apple has refuted the rumors of delays, stating that the first HomeKit accessories will launch next month, which suggests HomeKit will indeed see its official debut in the near future. The quote is, HomeKit has been available for just a few months, and we already have dozens of partners who have committed to bringing HomeKit accessories to market. And we're looking forward to the first ones coming out next month.
Here's the deal. It hasn't been the revolution that they promised, and I'm more and more every day doubting that it will be the revolution that they promised.
What's the revolution? I don't understand.
That you can, that like, HomeKit was going to be ubiquitous and awesome, and a lot of people were going to want to adopt it. But I am getting more and more skeptical that it's going to be a botched launch. It's not going to be picked up by partners, and we're going to continue to have this fragmented, really crappy home automation setup that we have now, where everybody's using a different protocol and a different technology, and nothing interoperates and nothing talks with each other. And it's just a big, giant nightmare for consumers. And that's what it is right now. And Apple was supposed to come in with HomeKit and make it better. And I think this delay, I think they should not have announced it. They should have announced it in June and been like, here it is, this awesome thing, HomeKit. But I think by announcing it when they did and saying it was going to be awesome and then letting it flounder and then running into issues,
screwed it up.
I think they've messed it up. I think they missed the boat.
I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
I mean, right. Unless it comes next month and everything that comes out on it is flawless perfect at this point, consumers are going to reject it. I think it's not going to get picked up. And if consumers don't like adopt it in droves, then there's very little incentive for someone who's already got a system in place to add it in or adopt it, because it really relies on other vendors adopting the technology over some of the stuff, or at least adding it into the technology that they're already using. And I think that's getting more and more, the longer this delay happens, it's more and more difficult for Apple to get over that hump.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah.
So I had heard part of the problem was this Broadcom chip thing, right?
How's that?
So a lot of vendors were waiting for these new chips from Broadcom that support the HomeKit stuff, and those just came out like this week or last week or something like that, right?
Hmm.
They just started shipping the hardware part that supports HomeKit, I think. Right, Jeff? You know?
That sounds about right. I know there were a couple key things that weren't there so that HomeKit could happen at all, and the Broadcom chips were part of it, and then Apple's code base was another part, and so basically HomeKit was nothing more than vaporware, because they're just all the pieces that you needed to actually make it work weren't even available.
Yeah, Broadcom was on Tuesday. They announced a hardware platform fully compatible with HomeKit on Tuesday.
Hmm.
And I probably crapped because I opened a browser.
No, you're fine.
No, you're fine.
But it's time to stand, guys.
Oh, you know what? I just got that notification. It's time to stand.
Me too. So did everybody.
Yes.
Who's listening to this podcast live, which is nobody, so yeah. Take it back.
No, everybody that's listening to the podcast live did get that. That would be all three of us.
Exactly. Okay, what do we have now? iPad Pro, this one that's probably coming out next year, and then the next year, and the next year. Mm-hmm. Assuming it ever comes out. So according to Electronic Times, they believe they will have a flexible touchscreen with...
That's not quite accurate.
Well, it's going to be as flexible as the Apple Watch touchscreen. So it's... where is that? So they're going to use
the
silver...
touchscreen is not flexible on the Apple Watch either, right?
Exactly. That's what
I'm
saying.
No, it's not.
Yeah, so it's going to use silver nanowire.
Yes, instead, which is flexible.
Yeah, instead of the ITO clear film, which doesn't require, so the ITO clear film, I guess, requires indium, which is rare and high cost. And I think it's bad too, like environmentally and like in every way, because it requires like slave labor or something to mine indium. I could be wrong about that. But cheaper and better for people. It'd be good all around. So iPad Pro, who knows? But Force Touch, it's, you know, having Force Touch in all the Apple devices, it makes sense. I think there are rumors going around that the new MacBook Pros are going to have, the next wave, are going to have Force Touch. That makes total sense. Hopefully it's going to be to the benefit of people, as in better battery life, or I guess, you think it's a good enough benefit if it just doesn't have the mechanical component that could potentially get gummed up, or do you think we need to get a little more battery life out of something for it to be a real benefit?
I think the benefit is no moving parts, mm-hmm. and that you have a new alternate feedback system for users. So yeah, so an enhancement to interfaces.
Yeah, it does seem like it would be an enhancement to interfaces. And for what it's worth, it's not, you know, really. There is a moving part of your linear actuator, and I don't know if there's just one, or there may be more than one in the trackpads. But
that's true.
But I think that those are pretty pretty robust, I would imagine. They're essentially linear electric motors. So instead of radial, they're linear, and we all know electric motors are pretty reliable. So
yeah, the one thing I was reading about this silver mesh stuff is apparently it has, with it you can sort of track touch points, like which part of the screen has been touched, mm-hmm. without some extra stuff.
Okay. Oh yes, like, and it's more, it is more accurate, increased sensitivity. Yes.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's super thin.
It does make sense. We've said it multiple times. If they're going to make an iPad Pro, it needs to have some better features over just a bigger screen.
Yeah, I was reading too. A couple of the reports said it was like really clear. So I don't know, compared to what material they're using now, like if it's more just transparent because it's thinner, like in terms of the diameter of the actual wire. But if it is clearer, like has more transparency to it, that would potentially mean too that you could get a brighter display with less backlighting, which would mean better battery life.
Yeah.
Now, I was under the assumption that the clearer part comes from the fact that you can embed the wires as opposed to laminate. So you have one less layer of glass, so you get less distortion.
Yeah. Well, and again, still too, if it's clearer too, you have less backlighting to achieve the same brightness level.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yes, that's true.
I would love to see a documentary or how it's made on how they produce these touch panels. That's got to be...
That would be pretty cool.
Kind of crazy if you think about it, because you got to wonder, okay, are these like giant sheets that they slice up, and then how do they connect the wires? I mean, you don't even see the wires, at least the capacitance sensors in the clear material, and how do those branch out of that thing, and how do they account for the position on the screen? And, you know, I guess it, you know, maybe it's some kind of just basic mathematical formula based on the resistance and capacitance and what.
Well,
levels.
They described it as a mesh. So, I mean, you've got a grid basically, right?
And so there'd be less capacitance or less of a signal for things further away than closer. Maybe it's like that. I don't know anything.
I don't know anything about
electronics, at least on that level. So we're just talking out of our butts now.
Yeah.
The capacitance
that's
is
how
actually
things work. Show they need to do this.
Yeah.
And with the capacitive touchscreens, it's actually a field that's generated above the wires, right? It's not even really dependent on physically touching the screen.
Hmm.
right? I'm right on that,
I have
right?
no idea. Not a clue. If someone wants to drop some knowledge on us, send us an email. Yeah, that's all. I guess that's why we're talking out of our butts now, because there's no more to talk about. I'm looking for a good email client, or just some cool apps in general for my phone, or for my watch rather. And I'm not seeing it. I think
you want an email client for your watch.
Yeah, something that
seriously.
Well, for several reasons, one of which being I want the push notifications for Gmail on my watch, and then a way to view the actual content of the email rather than getting a push notification from Mailbox, which I use on my phone, and then having to go to the Mail app and then refresh that and then see it that way. So I'm using two different things, because the Mail app on the phone does not do push with Gmail.
It doesn't?
No, it's fetch.
What?
And not the good kind of fetch from Mean Girls.
Well.
Yeah, but I mean, wait a minute. So is that since they stopped using the Outlook stuff for Gmail?
Yeah, it's been like that for, I don't know, maybe a couple of years now?
Yeah, I guess I don't care that much about my Gmail. I mean, it like checks every 5 minutes or something like that, right?
Every 15.
Oh, well. That's plenty. You don't need to know emails the instant they come in, Michael.
I'm the consumer. I want it. And it's my right to want
Jeez.
It.
No, your life will be so much better if you don't have that.
Well, and Mailbox is
Look
much
it,
better. I don't like the Mail app. I don't
texting is for instant notifications. Mail is not. People need to learn that. I'm sorry if you're one of these people, but if you're one of the people that sends an email and expects to get an immediate response, you're doing it wrong.
I agree. I do agree with
that. I agree too.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, ultimately, I want a better mail app for my watch. That's all.
All right.
Now,
I'm happy with mail.
I would like to give an anti-pick while I was looking for one of these. I downloaded My Mail.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, screw that app. Don't get it. It's got a bunch of really good ratings. I typed Gmail into iTunes and clicked on the Show Me Apple Watch apps, and My Mail is the second one on that list, and it sucks.
What about the Gmail app?
Why would I do that? I don't think it has an Apple Watch app either.
It doesn't have, what about Outlook?
Does that do Gmail?
I think so.
You might be right about that.
Oh, there you go.
But Microsoft's been making some cool stuff. It probably doesn't have an Apple Watch app either. I have no idea.
No, it doesn't. But yeah, don't get My Mail. Don't do that. They slurp your contact information.
Ooh.
And they send you, like, as soon as I signed in to my Gmail app, it sent me a buttload of different notifications. One from them saying, "Hey, congratulations, you're now with My Mail, and you're awesome, and we're here, and we now know you." And then I started getting notifications for emails that I got like last year, April, and just really random things. And I just immediately deleted that crap.
What about Mailbox?
Love Mailbox, but they don't have an app for the phone, for the watch yet. Ugh. Mailbox is great. Get Mailbox. But,
you just need to email the Mailbox developer and be like, get your Apple Watch app out.
Who makes Mailbox? Isn't it? It's Dropbox now. So I got to email Dropbox.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yep, Dropbox
there,
bot
there you go.
Mailbox.
So that's why it's taken forever.
They have a Dropbox app, right, for the watch?
Why? Why would you want
I don't know.
That?
Do they? I'm assuming they do.
I don't think they do. Mailbox on my Mac, the beta, is not really that great. You can't. So I would really like to be able to just drag attachments to the icon. Doesn't work.
I'm pretty sure Dropbox had an app, and I think I removed it because it was like, this is dumb. It just tells me.
On Dropbox.
Somebody updated a document.
Good. I'm glad I know that. I'm glad that's on my watch now. Okay, Jeff, let's get a pick from you.
Oh, okay. I'm going with a game today.
Okay.
And it's called Two Dots.
All right.
T-W-O-D-O-T-S.
think I know
and,
about that.
And it's a simple game, and there are other games that are like it. It's you have the different colored dots, and you have to connect as many as you can to make them go away, and then more dots fall down, and you're just trying to clear the grid of all the dots.
Yeah.
But this one, you have goals, like you'll have a goal of you need to clear out a certain number of color dots within a certain number of moves to get whatever the goal is. So it's more than just clear dots. It's clear dots with an objective.
Cool.
And I couldn't even tell you how much it costs.
It's free.
Oh, well, there you go. That's why I couldn't tell you how much it costs, because it didn't.
No cost.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and I know my lady played this for a while and really enjoyed it. But then
it's just a fun little game.
Something happened where I guess if you lose all your progress, it's kind of a bummer. So,
oh, that would suck.
Avoid that. Or no, I think it was she was doing it on her iPad and then she wanted to play on her phone and it didn't sync that. So then she stopped.
Something. Oh, I can see where that would be annoying.
Yeah. Okay, so two dots. Adam, what's your pick?
I was looking it up and I think I might have messed up my connection.
Yeah.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. It was only receiving that I'm having an issue with then. I am picking an old one, actually. And I was trying to look it up. Maybe you can look it up for me, because I think I might have picked it up because it may have gone free or at least on discount. Device 6, which is a game. Have you heard of this game?
Is it S-I-X?
No. Device and then the number 6. Okay. It's one of these text style games, where you're trying to like solve puzzles and riddles and things like that.
Okay.
You know, so you actually read kind of through a novel, a story that's going on. And then as the story's going along, you're presented with different puzzles. And then you sort of have to solve those puzzles to get to the next chapter. So there'll be little riddles buried within the text and also within little images that are embedded within the text. And it's really cool because as you're reading, it makes you sort of rotate your iPad or your... I don't know if it's... I'm playing on the iPad. I don't know if
it's... It's available for the iPhone also.
Yeah, you can get it on the iPhone too. Huh. So as you're playing, it'll actually require you to like rotate the screen. And so you'll be reading along and then all of a sudden all the text will go like left or upside down and you've got to sort of reorient the iPad, which is an interesting mechanic. I don't know that it really adds a whole lot. It adds a tactile element to the game that's just kind of fun. I don't know if there's anything beyond it just being sort of fun. But
sure.
You know, it's sort of one of these, like, it's like a Myst-style game or any of these puzzle-style games. It's just very textual, choose-your-own-adventure kind of thing. And I'm 3 chapters in now, and I'm just really enjoying it. It's a lot of fun. I like this style of game, though. I've done a few of these picks in the past. So,
oh, so choose-your-own-adventure.
If you like games like Sorcery or you liked Around the World in... Is it Around the World? Or 80 Days. 80 Days was the other one that I made a pick of. If you like this genre of game, and it's visually it's really really very cool. I think it's done in like 3 or 4, you know, it's minimal in terms of the colors and the palette, but very visually interesting, and I'm enjoying it so far. So Device 6, and were you able to pull up a price on it?
It's $4.
$3.99.
$4. Yeah, $3.99. Well, $4. It may have been that they came out with a new app, and then I was reading about this one again and realized I never tried it out, and it had great reviews, and now I know why. It's a really fun game.
Cool. All right, so my pick this week is Reminders Nano, and it's basically the Reminders app, but it's also on your watch. So it's the Missing Reminders app. And it's really
you mean
nice.
Like so it's like the Reminders app on the watch, except it's not the Reminders app on the watch.
I'm sorry, I'm probably poorly phrasing this. It is it is as if Apple hadn't forgotten to put a Reminders app on your watch.
Is there not a Reminders app on the watch? I just assumed there was one.
I know, isn't that psychotic?
I'm looking.
There's no Reminders app on your watch, guys. Trust me on this, I know.
I believe you. I did never look for it. That's funny.
Yeah. So now,
well, I mean, but you don't you use
OmniFocus?
You use OmniFocus.
Sure, I do. But I don't use that for groceries.
Oh.
I don't use it as a grocery list. And
why
I
not?
Why? Because that's nuts. You don't want to do that.
Because you could use context and then have your groceries in context and then you'd be good.
Well, I don't GTD as well as I should. And long story short, I really would just prefer a separate thing for my brain entirely from OmniFocus.
Okay, cool. I'm just pointing out
buying,
that you could use that, but I'm totally with you on using a better separate app for reminders.
Yeah, buying lettuce is not something I want to have in OmniFocus. So, and my one big desire, well, other than having it on my watch, would be to be able to tell Siri to add XYZ to my grocery list, right? Because that's part of
part of reminders.
Yeah, exactly. So just being able to raise my wrist and do that is like the vision. It's like the grand awesomeness for me.
You can't do that now? That sucks.
You can. You can say the magic phrase, add cheese to my grocery list, and she'll do that for you on the watch, but you won't have any way to look at it. Once you do that,
will this app that you're talking about
so stupid.
The app,
sync with reminders?
The app, yes. The app that I'm talking about, you install it on your phone. It says, hey, can we get access to reminders? You say, yeah, that's cool. And then on your watch now, you have full access to your reminders.
And you can add stuff to your grocery list and then view it on your watch.
Precisely. And you can even do it manually. You can type the little add new reminder, and then you can talk to Siri, and then she'll dictate it for you and then add it to that list.
Oh, that's awesome. What's this app called?
It's Reminders Nano, and it's $1. Totally worth it. It's really nice, simple. It looks exactly like what Apple would have made.
That's cool.
Yeah. Why did Apple leave that off?
I don't know.
That seems so obvious for the watch.
Like, how about a calculator?
Yeah,
calculator. Why did they leave that off?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I mean, the calculator, get CalcBot.
CalcBot's awesome.
CalcBot's
but
great.
But there's still not a calculator on the iPad. You have to go get a third-party one for that, too.
CalcBot. Takes care of Siri. Takes care of all. Yeah, you can be a dork and ask Siri to calculate things for you. She's not very good at calculating things. If you want to do some complex math, and by complex I mean like adding three numbers and dividing all three by like three to get an average, she doesn't know how to do that for you because she'll just divide
the last. You can't just say, give me the average of 72, 67, and 83.
You could probably do it that way, but that's not how I think about it because I would be typing it into a calculator or doing it by hand.
I haven't tried it. I'm just curious. Now I'm going to try it right after this podcast. I'm going to try that.
Okay.
Bet you it works.
It probably does. I'm sure it does. Yeah. So Reminders Nano, it's $1 and it's totally worth it. If you have an Apple Watch, just get it. It's only $1. I've been way less concerned about throwing a couple bucks at apps lately.
That's how you should be.
Yeah. Part of it is they should be asking more for apps.
Yes, they should.
Part of it is a lot of these apps that I spend some money on it and I say, well, why did I just wasted $2? But it's $2.
I could have had ice cream at Thrifty.
Exactly. But I didn't. So thank you. You saved me an ice cream.
Calories and cholesterol.
Yeah.
Apps are calorie free.
That's true.
Eat as many as you want.
Mm-hmm. Good luck eating them, though.
Om nom nom.
You know,
with that,
how bad would it be if you swallowed an Apple Watch, like without the bands? I'm talking a 38 millimeter.
Well,
and so now that is probably still calorie free because you're probably not going to digest it, any of those apps or your watch.
Then you'd be in Pulp Fiction, right?
Pulp Fiction. Why would that be Pulp Fiction?
Is it Pulp Fiction? What was the movie?
Where you swallow a watch?
Where, Christopher Walken gives the kid the watch, the gold watch. Did I get that wrong?
Is that Joe Dirt?
No. Is it?
I don't know. Christopher Walken's in that. So Christopher Walken gives a guy a watch and then he eats it?
No. He carried the watch in his ass.
Oh,
from Vietnam.
Oh, yeah. I feel like that's got to be that's got to be Joe Dirt. I feel like can we Google that? Someone Google that. Chat room, Google that. There's no chat room. I don't know, but yeah. I mean, I have a friend who once swallowed one of my flash drives, and I never recovered that. So,
and you don't want to?
No, I don't really want that back. I mean, I kind of want it back just on principle, but.
Yes, it's from Pulp Fiction. I got it right.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You know what? That checks out. Now that you say it, that sounds about right. So
it'd be like that. It's just it'd take longer to get to its destination.
You know, it'd be fun. You take the bands off. You open up the stopwatch app, swallow the watch, see how long it takes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's waterproof too. So
if you need to hide your Apple Watch from the Viet Cong, eat it.
And then, but time
or
it.
Put
first.
It up your butt.
Time it so that you're at least doing something experimental.
The battery would die before.
And don't
it got
wander
out,
too
think.
Far from a hospital.
Well,
just
think,
in case.
You think the battery?
Oh, you mean
would...
time it not with the Apple Watch?
No. I mean time it with the Apple Watch you're about to swallow. Then you can.
The
then you're,
would
test,
die before
you're
it
testing.
Got out.
I don't think the battery would die. You think there's a good Wi-Fi reception in there?
No.
You think? You think it'll lose connection with your... You think the taptic engine? You feel the taptic engine?
I've got a rumbly in my tummy. No, actually, it's just an alarm.
It's just an alarm. It's been going off for the last 3 hours. I'm waiting
what
for it to pass.
What is going on?
It's a good thing we have any sponsors.
That.
Yeah, so... yeah, feedback at theiosshow.com if you're disgusted. tell your friends... about whatever this is. And of course, advertising is handled by Backbeat Media at backbeatmedia.com. Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com, at Jay Gamet on Twitter, and the TMO Daily Observations podcast, which is like the best podcast out there. So stop listening to this and go listen to that.
Yeah.
What he said.
I mean, it doesn't matter at this point. You're done. This episode's over. So you can stop listening to this one and go listen to that show. And Adam Christensen, he's at thematcast.com.
The best podcast ever.
Bedcat. That's also the best podcast ever.
You should go listen to that.
And he's like 20 days behind because he doesn't have any internet. at Mattcast on Twitter.
I was literally crying this morning.
You know, what's going to be fun is to see this. We're thinking that Skype isn't taking up all your data, but it's probably like you're going to get off and it's going to be like 20 gigs.
Well, I had 18 gigabytes, so hopefully we didn't blow through that.
Yeah, it might be. Yeah.
It'll be a big cell phone bill, but it's worth it for you people because that's how much I care.
Thank you. Yeah, you're doing it for discussion of digesting.
Doing it for the people. See, that's how awesome Adam is.
Yeah, he is awesome.
Yeah, I'll incur a huge AT&T bill. So this episode of the iOS show has been brought to you by AT&T.
By Adam's AT&T
and the power
bill.
Of LTE.
Yeah, so I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter. And with that, there's no more. We'll see you next week, hopefully with more content on the iOS show.
An iPod. Internet.
How are we going to communicate this?
The stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No. Yuck. No.